Welcome back to another episode of the Wandong Chronicle. You're here, live, from Wandong, with Riley Dyson. Beautiful day here in Wandong. Gonna get to a top of 30. Everything's going good. The IGA is always busy. Fish and chip shop is... no comment. Bakery's good. Post office is does the job. Enough with that. Anyway, so I'm going to read two stories and a poem. And that's all on this thing. This one is called There's a Man Sitting on the Edge of Time and a Seat. Okay. To the right of his notebook is a beer. The condensation from the humidity leaves small puddles of water everywhere. It gets on the notebook. The pages crumble and some tear off silently. William, the writer, notices and gets a napkin to wipe it dry. As he grabs the napkin, he doesn't know there is a knife and fork in it, all wrapped up, tight and cozy, like two virgins on their wedding night. Rattles the most harsh noise as it hits the tiles of the open-plan living bar. Fuck, sorry. He says to the whole world, bending down, picking up the carnage. The whole thing snapped him back to reality, where scooters drive by. Plenty of people going to plenty of places he will never see. A lady in a small pink silk dress and black heels walks past. What the fuck is she up to? William says to himself, then falls back into a thought that takes him far away. Truth has more freedom in fiction, he writes on his notepad that had a look that reminds you of a taste. Did I already fucking say that? Oh no. Just read it earlier. That had a look that reminded you of a taste. William wrote that after thinking that there is no reality. There is no difference between fiction and non-fiction because it is just your perspective. You can perceive things that don't happen. But did it? Often reality is not true. It just doesn't know it yet. Anyway, the point is that the truth is an essence that can expand further speaking to the soul, rather the logical mind. Before finishing half a schooner with intent, he wrote, she always said, you lose your soul when you lose your temper. She never realized there was soul in my anger. It's all done now. No point worrying about it. They say alcohol makes you angry. Well, fuck those cunts. Then he drank the rest of his schooner like the perfect scene in the movie, a rebellion to change. And he drank the drink a few seconds after the character he made up, inspired by him. That will go in one of his books, he thinks to himself. There is a writer named Henry in his next novel, and he is fishing for lines in the unmanifest to find the balance between real but still broken, wrong but knows there's no difference, stuck but enlightened, riddled with the booze, night and day separated like duality. William gets the attention of the bar staff. One more, please, he lies. There will be another, but one more for now, he means, before writing. It starts with them thinking you're perfect and they want all the good things in the world for you. Then they realize you're not. And slowly, whilst not admitting it, they hope for a bit of pain, a bit of punishment. That false forgiveness manifests in hope you will be humbled, that they will forgive you, but the world won't, rightly or wrongly. He does not remember where it came from or where it is going. Once written, he does not really think about it again. Some things he wrote down were like that. The present moment struggles to see things sometimes. It can make him feel like a genius when writing shit, and shit when it turns out to be okay, so he does not judge. If a wave wants to wave and he has a hand, then it can wave. He wrote, sober people lack the humility of a hangover and the sense of humour of being drunk, and he thought it was very funny. He was getting annoyed with those who parade sobriety. Celebrities shame his beloved alcohol whilst really it is the pills and cocaine they are quitting. I felt better after not drinking for 6 months, says the now dead comedian. Yeah, it's because you aren't doing drugs to keep you up for 3 days. William wondered to himself. He has not been sleeping very well lately. Ah well, he thinks. It's just a funny line. Without anything really happening, he looked to see he had written some more lines. He wrote, foresight is drinking small bottles of beer instead of pints so you don't get too drunk. I don't eat meat the same reason I don't fuck prostitutes. If I'm not man enough to hunt it, I don't deserve to eat it. God's gift to man was women. The devil's too. As he read, he thought to himself, I do eat chicken sometimes, though, and prawns, but I could kill them, he thought. He thought on with an imposing and likewise voice. Could you, though, kill a chicken? Probably not. A shrimp? Surely. Could you, though? I don't think so. Then he felt a little sad, but at least honest. He thought and drank, and the world seemed like you could pinch its fabric. I guess you literally can. But, as if the other side of his eyes, the side where he looks into the streets, is nothing but a shiny, funny wallpaper. Two girls with tattoos walk past together. He wrote, two lesbians walk past. What a bit of meat between the bread? I asked them. They didn't reply. Then laughs, imagine saying it. With the essence of funny in his veins, he writes, sometimes you have to catch the porcupine who is walking towards the highway, even though he is prickly. And for some reason it is funny. Silly. He likes to feel silly. Sometimes. The silliness allowed some sadness to creep in. He thought of love. He wrote, I want her love so I can wear it like a badge, so this world will praise me, or at least just leave me alone. William, the writer, was trying to figure out how to love, and found that his ego is a bit like Jesus and is constantly crucified for divinity. The noble Jesus is dragged through the mud and he is not the Holy Spirit but becomes it. So I am Jesus and God because they are the same thing. Yet the reality, you suffer on that cross, my friend. He wondered if he had it all worked out. He wondered if he had worked out Christianity now too. And it's just the same as Buddhism. Then he thought to himself, wow, I am only 30 years old and I'm writing the Bible without reading it. Then he thought, maybe I should read it. Then he thought, maybe one day. Then he finished his beer. Walking back from the toilet, he heard a conversation. Some guy saying that if it's love, then genders don't matter. William smiled as he sat. He wrote, I walked past a guy speaking with a girl and overheard him say, when you're in love with someone, then you're in love with someone. It doesn't matter the gender. A word jumped from his ribcage like a dog that noticed a door was open. Faggot. William imagined him saying it and felt very naughty, mischievous and a little bit cheeky. A bit of a cheeky bugger. He watched a good-looking girl with an okay-looking boy together at a table, listening to music, holding each other in various places. He wrote, and when you start to see the love of other travellers, you see how artificial it is, but rejoice in how they must feel, better than reality. He felt a bit pessimistic. William was always worried about that, being a pessimist. He thinks it is the worst thing someone can be. Then he thought, maybe a rapist is worse. So once again he had no firm grip on what is real. He writes, do not mistake my vision for desire. Then forgets. He writes, the boy-to-girl ratio in this place was nothing but a waiting game. So he ordered another drink, thinking to himself, what would have to happen for me to talk to someone? Shakes his head in acceptance and doesn't worry about it. A group of three stand close to him, as if he wasn't there, expecting his presence. They left. A bewildered William wrote, for some reason they let me in on what I could only observe as a very private and intimate moment, as if I was a puppy in the family photo. He had written, if I can make a debt, he was not sure what it means. That wasn't finished, that's why I said it like that. If I can make a debt. He is not sure what it means. A guess would be something about death that was coming across as arrogant and antagonistic, something begging for humbling. Jesus on the cross. So he didn't finish it. A man stood on the foot of a dog and his yelp went off like a sad and frightened smoke alarm. He wrote, if evil had a sound, it would be the noise a dog makes when you step on its foot. A girl with blonde hair and glasses walks by, nonchalantly. William asks where she was from. She replied, Belgium. Nice, William said, and she kept walking. That's funny, William said to himself before writing. I asked her where she was from and she replied and I said nice and she walked off. That's funny, I said to myself. He sat there, William the writer, wondering where he fits into it all, knowing long ago he doesn't. But he likes the music, the anticipation, the feeling of getting home after having left it, so he called himself a writer and goes there for work. The writer is a lazy workaholic, functioning at a high rate to nowhere, with faith. With faith. Before leaving, he writes, the sad reality is we are all here for the same thing. Something. I wrote that last year. Good fun. Can't be bothered talking about it. But I'll tell you what happened. I was in Thailand on an island, and I was out, and I do just walk fucking, I'm just by myself. Just, I don't know, walk it, riding around, you know, go to this place, have a few drinks, nothing happens, go to the next place, and then just end up going home. But, you know, it's all good. So I wrote all those notes down throughout the night, and then the next morning I woke up and I put them all into a story. That was the story. Hope you enjoyed it. Okay, and the next one is something I wrote just the other day. It's called Dear God. Wow, how fun. So I guess that last one was fiction, and this one is, I mean, what the hell? How could it be non-fiction? Anyway, I guess this is fucking fiction too, but it's like more of a blog post. This is called Dear God. I've been thinking about you lately, thinking about myself. I have faith. I do have faith, the same way I have a sense of humour. But I'll be honest, I do not believe you exist. Not in the way my human mind can comprehend. I know there is more. I know a bat lives in the same universe but experiences it differently. I know I don't know. I am not scared for me if you do not exist. It sometimes brings me peace. It relaxes me, and weirdly enough, the meditation gets deeper. The procrastination gets weaker, and what is going to happen happens without too much hesitation. My ego made you up to get and do what he wants, but what I want doesn't come, and you're still there, something. And all the times I was certain of a curated universe, where bad people get bad treatment and good things happen to good people, I didn't write to you. You see, I just see so much belief, the same belief I had, and I don't believe in it. So how can I believe in what I believe if I don't believe in others? How can the feeling of God be wrong for someone else but right for me? God, are you nothing but me? God, are you nothing but the absence of doubt, no matter how valid? I do not understand the world I live in. I do not understand how rational people can so calmly endorse the murder of children because of war, because of history, because of their bloodline or religion, because of their beliefs. I do not understand how someone who has a child can be open to killing someone else's. I have a theory. You don't have to reply. I know that's not your strongest point. And I will continue to interpret the symbols like someone addicted to gambling. Like a pigeon who got fed after he lifted his left leg. So he continues to lift his left leg to receive food, but the old man on the bench has gone home. But my theory is whatever happens here does not matter. That it's just matter. Is this atheism? Did I just ask God if I'm an atheist? I do have faith, but that is all it is. Did you see that 600 cities across the globe protested against the invasion of Iraq? 20 years later, they retrieved all their troops and everyone agreed it shouldn't have happened. Now they still protest. The guilt is overflowing that no celebration can come without acknowledgement of murder and injustice of the past and the present. Or the present. But why? When even if you try, there is nothing you can do. Why feel guilt when there is nothing you can do? There is nothing you can do. There is nothing I can do but hope you exist to punish your children who are taking advantage of the corruption of the playground. Guess who knows you exist? The ones holding the guns. Guess who prays to you? The ones getting shot. So why do I even know about the small child who awakens beneath rubble beside his dead family when there is nothing I can do about it? Why even put these ideas or morals and duality within me if there is nothing I can do about it? Why give me free will to appreciate a sunset when others use it to kill? I do appreciate the rose, but at what cost? I am starting to understand you, I think, and maybe I agree. You've decided just to leave it. You've decided that there is no ending. You've decided that we love it. You've decided that no matter what, it is all going to happen anyway. It's all just play. It's all just a game. It all just is. I hope to open a door too quickly and surprise you. And before the particles have a chance to change, I will see everything. I will see the squiggles and the chaos. I will see the flies in a glass box. I will see the irrelevance. I will take the cloak of guilt and frustration off and stop caring. I will join the hermits in the mountains with a smile, knowing there are plenty of mountains for all of us. And I won't care for those who can't reach them, who are stuck behind a government barricade or an abusive mother or a debt to the manifest, fear to keep you in place, with your eyes plied open to watch and indoctrinate yourself by thinking you can make a change to something that's already happened. I will do the world a favour and leave it and be one less block of movement that just disrupts the serenity of energy with the attempt to correct it. My frustration is that I have nowhere to put it. And maybe that's funny, I just can't see it yet. But maybe you are there, God, like me with a laptop, and you make people suffer and you make people triumphant for nothing but the story. And everyone's individual story is so nuanced. And a man sleeps in his silk sheets after returning home from service and being responsible for ending a family name. And it's horrible. And your readers can't believe your mind has the ability to write these things. And then the small child who lost his family writes a poem. And that's your poem too. And the little boy grows to be a big boy. And he finds peace with everything you did to him. And you give him a beautiful wife and small children. And his oldest daughter reminds me of his mother because I have the same eyes and the same smirk. And then he watches his children play in a land without death falling from the sky. Then you'll accept your writing. And the man who killed his family grows old and his reflection begins to darken. And his surroundings begin to change. And the grandchildren he killed for don't like him because of the lies in his heart. And none of us have a soul or anywhere to go after death, but life keeps us here for you to watch and watch. And you, God, he will turn to you and he will ask why you wrote that, why you made him do that, and you won't answer because you never do. And he'll be left thinking it was just him writing with his memory with no delusion left, no joy left, just the truth. Or maybe he will grow old and wealthy knowing he did what he had to do because he is a chosen person with a soul. And those he killed were nothing but termites in the land of the Messiah, only to exist to challenge your faith. And you passed the test, you kept your soul. And those beneath the rubble are a few less things to worry about. Or maybe it's just what is, and what you do is what happens, and what you don't is what doesn't. And the real universe doesn't care that evolution gave you a little voice in your head to interpret the body. And you, God, are nothing but the name of our arrogance. Our fear of irrelevance. When we close our eyes, it stays black and that is all over. Or you reopen them to see yourself in the open field of energy and know your manifested life was nothing but a small thought for your cosmic self. And you spent the time in the world with kookaburras and dogs, grass and flowers, soil and children, mothers and horizons. Angry, miserable, deluded. I am sorry. I just don't understand. And watching all these people who apparently do, I never want to, but I do have faith because I can. And if this is it, then this is it. And if billions die for me to appreciate the sky, it would be an incredible shame if I didn't. Love always, Riley. So I sent that to God, wherever he is. I mean, I guess that obviously is about the frustration of, not even frustration, just like everything. It's like, fuck. So with Israel and Palestine, and I know that I'm on my algorithm is definitely fucking promoting my stance, but it's like there's really nothing you can do, and you can protest, but then everyone just looks at the protesters and they just make people look annoying, and then they're against the cause. So what you could actually probably do the best way. If you want to supported Palestine, which obviously fucking should, you would just wear Israel stuff and then go to like disrupt traffic and say that we're doing this for Israel, and they go on the news and they say Israel protests are doing this, and then everyone will be like, fuck, it's annoying. So that's the only way you can do it. You have to be a bit smart. Fucking hell. That's why I just read it, because if I talk off, if I just talk, I sound like a retard. So these are my three theories that I said, or maybe two. So God is just writing, and, you know, stories happen. And then this guy will say someone does something when they're bad, they grow old and they have to live with it, and that's like the justice. That's the justice, they have to live with their own stuff. And these people who do bad things actually are suffering You know, that's what you think. But then there's the other thought of, you know, maybe he believes in what he did so much that that awareness never comes and he never suffers. And then the third one is maybe it just all fucking doesn't matter and it's all just energy swirling around, and to get too caught up in it is silly because you're going to die and wake up and go, like, shit, that was just like a 5-second dream. I can't believe I wasted it worrying about things I can't control. And then finishing with, I don't understand, but watching people who do understand, I don't want to be a part of that. But then you still have faith because, I mean, I don't know, faith in fucking things are going to be all right. You need that. Okay, this is my last one. I'm going to read a poem. Can't find it. Okay, you ready? This is called I Have a Dirty Little Secret, I Told Her. Is it bad? She asked. Sometimes. Is it good? Sometimes. Just tell me what it is, she said with frustration. What is it? I leaned over and whispered in her ear. I'm an artist.